Jesus, tell me where would I spend eternity? Well, I'd be lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Oh, tell me where would I be without Jesus? Oh, tell me where would I spend eternity? Yes, I'd be lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Tell me, where would I be without Jesus? Oh, tell me, where would I spend eternity?
say today that there is no problem too great God cannot solve it. He can do anything with anything. I don't know. Does anyone else here have a great need? The Lord can. He can touch you today. He can meet it today. I know. There's a. I feel something here. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in. He's touching this young lady's heart. Meeting a need there. There may be something in your life that you need to resolve that needs to be done, that only can be done through the Spirit of God. And if you, I commission you to seek that. Ask God, what is it He can do for you today? He's wanting to do something for you today. He wants to, I mean, that's the whole He wants to change our lives. Makes us into His likeness. He wants us to get where we can fulfill the scriptures, what Jesus said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. He can replace, Sister Krista said at the meeting, she can replace bitterness with peace. You got bitterness in your heart today? Is there something that isn't at peace in your life today? Would you like that peace that passeth all understanding? He can give it to you today. That's something you can ask of God, and He is willing to give you today. Hallelujah. I open your heart. Search your heart. Is there unrest in your life? He said, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you. I will give you rest. My burden is easy, and my load is easy, and my burden is light. Would you like to go leave here today with your load a little bit lightened? Would you like to have your heart be cleansed? Would you like to have your heart made white as snow? Hallelujah. It could happen for you today. If you just reach out and call upon Him. Say, Lord, if you just touch me. I just one touch. Oh, God. I know you can make it all go away for me. You can change me, Lord. Create in me a new heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Just like this David, the psalmist, said, he made that cry unto God. Well, that's His promise. He will create in you a new heart. Hallelujah. But you have to open up and submit to Him. That's the first rule you have to learn is humility. That's right. You have to learn humility. Most people don't want to learn. They don't want anybody to help them. I can fix it myself. The spirit of the world is selfishness. That is the spirit of the world. Me. Me, myself, and I. Those three things. Lust of the flesh, the eyes, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's all about me. Well, that's that path will lead you unto death. But if you'll humble yourself and say, God, I don't need me. I need less of me and more of you. Hallelujah. I want to learn to, you know how good it feels when you can love your neighbor? When you can just love people? I want no more of that bitterness. You know, you will ask God and tell God a lot of things when you are rolling around in pain. I was making deals, Sister Julie. I was striking for a deal. That's right. I've suffered, most of you know, but I suffered with a kidney stone last few days. And you're in severe pain like that. God has your attention. I was saying, Lord, Lord, Lord. Brother Al heard me. He's driving me home. We were about Arkadelphia, and I was going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, help me. Touch me, Lord. All right, He had my attention. It had my attention on a physical need, but I've been there and spiritually. Just a need in my life where I've been in a place where there's no position could possibly get comfortable. That's what it is when you get a kidney stone. There is nothing you can do. You can't lay on your back. You can't lay in your stomach. You can't curl up in a ball. You can't there's nothing you can do to ease the pain. You can't take Percocet, you can't take Darvocet, you can't take Tylenol. There probably is a spinal block or something you can take. There's nothing to relieve the pain. Believe me, I was trying it. Morphine, okay, we can get some morphine. That's about the only time I ever had the pain relief. I had to go to the hospital, and that's the only place you can get morphine in the hospital. But he had to wait for it to pass. Had to go through the process of letting it empty out of the kidney. See, that's where it starts. You got a little duct comes out of the kidney, and you got a tube that goes all the way down to your bladder. And that transition from there to that bladder is where the pain starts, and you have to wait. I don't know what these people who have three and four at a time. Brother, I think Brother Weiniger, when you have to have them busted up, you had like three or four of them. He knows. He had to suffer with it for a week. I just had to go like 26 hours. Well, there's the suffering. There's no position you can get in to get relieve the suffering unless you go to the hospital. And I thought about it. I could go to the hospital, and I could sit in that waiting room for 5 or 6 hours. And they could take me in there, x-ray me, and give me morphine, and probably by the time they do that, I'm probably going to pass it. Unless it's too big to pass. My wife says, "You want to go to the hospital?" No. I said, "The only way I'm going, you're going to carry me in an ambulance." As I said, I just soon lay here and suffer, pace the floor and everything I do. But what I'm saying is, you can get that uncomfortable in your spirit. Your life can get that turned upside down that there's no thing you can do. There's no bet you can make. There's no drink you can drink. There's no drug you can take. There's nowhere you can go. There's no pleasure you can find. There's nothing you can do to ease the pain. But you can go to God. Hallelujah. And He can take the pain away. Hallelujah. He can take your pain. He can take you to the process. But you will have to fall down on your knees. You will have to ask Him to come in your life. If you know what, though? If you just turn to Him. If you just turn to Him. The prodigal son, he just showed up at the end of the lane, and his father ran out to meet him. If you'll just turn to Him, He'll run to meet you. Hallelujah. This is, Sister, I told Sister Smith, I said, Sister Crow did a wonderful sales pitch Wednesday night on serving God. If I wasn't serving God, I believed I'd want to. That was better than Billy Mays could have ever done. Wonderful life. Anything that you go through when you're serving God, it's for your own good. Hallelujah. You don't necessarily get yourself in predicament, but you can seek God. That's someone was asking me yesterday about what a minister should do. I said, a minister should teach you how to seek God. That's his ultimate goal. He may have to tell you what to do for a little bit, but ultimately, he ought to be able to teach you how to seek God and get answers for your life. Well, you're falling after God in the Spirit. But what I'm talking about today, is your life uncomfortable? Is no matter what you do, do you still feel pain? Do you feel unrest and uneasiness? If you do, today is the day of salvation. Call out unto Him.
Praise God. Well, let's take the prayer request here today. I know that we've got a lot of needs among us. remember Sister Georges in Fort Lauderdale? She's really suffering with the stroke that she's had, paralyzed on the right side. Let's ask the Lord to help her and Brother George. This is a difficult time in their life, and she's taking therapy, but she's still paralyzed. So let's ask God. Trying to remember other needs, Sister Elsie. All right, so remember that, Sister Fisher. Colonoscopy, okay. All right, Sister Lisa. Who? I can't hear her. Bus driver has swine flu. All right, let's remember that. What else here today? Yes, Sister Ann Gown needed to leave and take care of a situation. And so let's pray for her while she's... Brother Thompson's sick today with his sinuses. And Brother Doug York, I guess, still sick. Let's pray. Sick again. Had his gallbladder removed and he's still sick. So, Sister Abraham's sister passed away last night. Or this morning or last night? It's this morning. So, let's pray for her family. And God would help her and comfort her. It's a hard thing to lose a sibling. Remember that need. Brother Doug and Sister Yvonne are supposed to be signing papers on their home this week and moving, hopefully next weekend. And then Brother Dave and Sister Gail are going back to get their stuff and moving this weekend. It's next weekend. Matthew and Reva are moving next weekend. So we're going to need help. So keep that in your mind, Sister Gail. All right, yes, let's pray God would help Brother Dave get a good job. Is that Brother Keith back there? Who is that? Tyrone, I'm sorry, I can't see that far today. Oh. All right, Brother and Sister Wallace, let's pray. Their need is great. Brother Ray Weaver and Sister Susan's been missing quite a bit lately. Let's pray for them, their health situation, and also just their walk with God, that God would give them strength and help them. Brother Daniels, he's not here today, is he? Let's... Sister Catherine Dodson, okay. It's good to see Brother Dodson here today. Somebody had a hand up out here. Who was? Oh, Sister Jennifer. All right. Let's pray. Sure love to see them. Make it. Sister Wilkins. All right, let's remember that. Brother Stewart, is you. I'm sorry, brother. I just can't see this morning. All right. Let's pray for that. Remember the work in the Dominican Republic. Pray for that. Brother and Sister Stewart are going with us, and Brother and Sister Mark Boyd are going with us down there October the 9th. So still have a little room for anyone else that might want to go. Sister Bryant. All right. Let's remember that. All right. We have Brother Dewey Conklin with us in the Bible study, and he's here in worship service with us this morning. We're glad to have you, Brother Conklin. Appreciate you being here. we're working on the book of Revelation in Bible study. We're in the sixth chapter, and we're going through it chapter and verse. It's a very interesting book, and very interesting things that have to do with the prophetical time that we're living in. Of course, the book of Revelation keeps going back to the day of Pentecost and projecting forward. There's great things in there concerning what's ahead and where we're at in God's timetable. That's one of the things we had in the New York meeting. How do we get direction from God? There are several answers given on that. Was prayer and fasting, the Word of God, the ministry, dreams, visions, even circumstances, watching the Spirit, seeing what's going on. God uses circumstances. I added the voice of a prophet yesterday. We need a prophet in the kingdom of God. They're seers. They foretell. And and then the time that we're living in, knowing God's time is very important to understand how to get direction from God. You need to know what time it is, what time we're living in. So that's an important thing. So anyway, I'm enjoying going through it, and invite people to come. That's something you won't hear very much talked on. Brother Conklin mentioned that to me. I'm sure he's used to getting out of church probably about this time. So, but he's interested in that. Anyway, let's take these needs here this morning to the Lord and ask God to help us. Or anybody else as we need to mention? Sister Tally, all right, let's remember that. Keep praying for Sister Leanna, Brother Golden. All I can see is a white shirt and a tie. Sister Crow. All right, let's... All right, let's pray. God will help her get her strength restored. All right, let's stand here. Brother Painter. All right, we've already mentioned him, but we'll mention him again. He definitely needs prayer. Pray for the service today and tonight. Dear God, help us, O Lord. Precious Savior, we love you today. Oh, God, I ask you to help us with our needs that were mentioned. We just lift them up before you and lay them at your feet, trusting in you, Lord. God, knowing that you're our present help in our time of need, dear God. Oh, Jesus, Help us. God, we want your will, your direction. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Meet the needs of these that are sick in their body. Oh, God. Sister Georges. Sister Brenda Ratliff. Oh, God. These different ones, Lord, that were mentioned here today. Touch them. Touch their bodies. Oh, Lord Jesus, Jesus. Then we've got needs, circumstances in our lives. Oh, God, that we're looking to you, God, to resolve for our help. Oh, God. Lead us. Direct us. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed Lord. Blessed Lord. Traveling on, my heavenly home is bright and fair, and I feel like traveling on, traveling on, I feel like traveling on, my heavenly. Ministers meeting and the open session in New York this week. I flew up there Wednesday night. I wish all of y'all could make that trip at least once. It's one thing just to see New York City. It's almost like going to a different country. And then the work that's up there in that area has just grown. It's primarily a work among the Haitian people that God has added to this body. It's absolutely a bona fide work of God in the body of Christ. And we had service Wednesday night. It was Brother Hogart Lewis's 25th anniversary, 25th year in of pastoring. We had a little 25th year service, well, basically just sort of bringing, you know, the highlights of his ministry in that church for the last 25 years, Wednesday night. But then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we had ministers' meeting from 10:30 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day. And then at night, we have service in a Pentecostal church hall that's a big theater building on Utica Street. And it seats about 2,000 people, and it's jam-packed full every night. That's just how many people are there in that area. It's bigger than any general meeting we have. And just to go there and see that and watch God touch those people. And then the minister's meeting during the day is in Brother Hogarth Lewis's church. Brother Leniger was effective in getting that church bought. It, you know, in areas like that, I mean, it takes $500,000 just to buy a piece of property. His church's building is not as big as this building. It's probably maybe 20 foot shorter than this, maybe 10 foot narrower, I don't know, something like that. It's probably 100 by 60 or something like that. But they get more people in it than we can get in this one, I think. And you know, they can put 12 in a Volkswagen in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Joel, 12 personas en un Volkswagen. In Dominican Republic, it's possible, ¿verdad? It's possible. They just cram in there, sat in one another's laps and too high sometimes, two or three high. But God met with us this week, and that's what was interesting to me, is to watch the Lord work. Brother Hogarth started the meeting out saying, I don't have a foundation to lay for this service, so I'm just going to open it up and let the Lord have control. And he sat down, and several lesser men began to get up and talk. And I thought, God, where is this going? You know, are we letting young men and men that don't really have a direction? I could tell that men were talking. I thought, they don't have a direction for this meeting. They're just talking. We need to hear from God. And somebody said something to me about it, and I said, let's watch God. I said, God may, and you know, it's amazing what God did. We had that the first day. And the second day, God began to show the lesson in that, and how that this body's got out of step of not letting elders lead. There's a scripture in the Bible. In fact, I want to read it. We can find it. I just now came to my mind. It says, I saw princes walking and servants riding the horses. Help me find that scripture. it's in Ecclesiastes or Proverbs. There it is. Having seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Back it up a little bit. Let's read above it in the sixth verse. Can you go to the sixth verse there? You don't just scroll down like my iPhone, evidently. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich set in low places. Then he said, I've seen servants on the horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He called that great folly. In other words, there's a great folly or foolish thing has happened where leaders are, you know, those that are less in experience, less in knowledge. They're the ones in charge. Sometimes I worry about that in our country when I see young men. There's something great about hoary heads if they be found in honor. This country's had mostly old presidents. Sometimes when you get a young president, it's a little bit scary to me. Of course, the older you get, the scarier it gets. And I'm not saying that young men can't be wise and great. There were some great kings in Israel that were young. Josiah was one of them. He was 8 years old when he started reigning. And he was a righteous young ruler. So you can be young and righteous, but there's still something to be said for wisdom that's found in years. It's one of the reasons I appreciate having elderly in a congregation. Their presence speaks volumes. And it does something for the youth just to be around elderly people. I used to love that when I was a child. I used to love to sit on the porch with old folks and just visit with them, talk to them, listen to them talk. And at one time, I started out administrating nursing homes when I was a young man. I got my license and was certified and went to school in the University of Texas and took my state and national exams and became a nursing home administrator, or actually a healthcare administrator. You could be administrator of hospitals back then with that license, but I was in the nursing home field, and I just loved going room to room talking to the elderly and just getting history of, you know, things in life, just their wisdom of in life. And at one point, I was taking notes, and I was going to write a book. And I was having a hard time gathering information. One of the things that I'd ask people was, why don't you tell us more of the wisdom you've gained in life? Every one of them had the same answer. They all said nobody will listen. I'd like to tell you a few things, but you can't tell some people. It's hard to tell people. They think old people don't know nothing, or they won't listen. They've got new ideas, and so. But I knew they was having a recognition birthday party for Sister Crow when I was gone. I was sorry I couldn't be here. Somebody said, well, we never have done this. I said, well, we're starting out. I want to honor our elderly people. I want to recognize them and give them some honor. I want us all to honor our elders. And if you live to be, you know, we asked, Sister Smith asked my mama this morning, said, how old are you, Mom? She said, let me see. She said, am I 86? She said, you're 88. She said, I lost a couple of years. I said, well, when I get to be 88, I'm going to start backing them off too. If I make it that far, I'm going to start counting backwards. You know, if God, the Bible says the Lord, he gives us 70 and 10 more by reason of strength. If there's 70 years that God has given us, but if you have enough strength, there's enough strength or blessing, you may live to be 80 or even longer. But you're in the latter years of your life when you get up in age like that. And if you're serving God and you're serving an example to God's people, you're worthy of some honor. So I'm thankful for our seniors and elders in the body of Christ. It's one of the things I've always noticed in our ministry, the hoary heads that God's raised up, and we've always had several old men that have been leading men in this body. And have gave us good directions, good customs, good traditions, principles that they've gave us. I'm thankful for that. I hope we don't get in a place. Well, I know we won't. I know that God, this body,